Confidence to Lead is the podcast for leaders of growing companies. Providing insights, advice, and information, it will empower you to make bold decisions in your business. Here's your host, Sarah Bartholomews, CEO of U Legal.
Welcome to episode 3 of Confidence to Lead. Today we're going to look at director's duties, so let's get right into it. It doesn't matter whether you are a good person or whether you understand business, and it's irrelevant how much money you make. We're going to get a little heavy here for a minute. If you do not fully understand your directorial obligations, you stand to lose a whole lot more than just your job. I'm talking about credibility, respect, personal wealth, social standing, future potential, and much, much more. Take my client, Mr. Rogers, for example. He purchased a fast food franchise and for a while everything was going quite well. Cash was flowing, business was good, everyone was happy. Naturally, Mr. Rogers decided to open another franchise where surely things would go just as well. His business expansion continued rapidly, so much so that the bank became nervous and asked Mr. Rogers if he could personally guarantee the company's financial obligations to the bank. Mr. Rogers then became personally liable for the debt the company owed to the bank. However, Mr. Rogers' good fortune ran out, and soon he found himself having to personally pay back all of the loans to the bank because he placed his company into voluntary liquidation. He became a bankrupt, which meant, among other things, that he could not enter into any more business ventures as a director until the bankruptcy ended. What's the takeaway here? Know your personal exposure. Only sign a personal guarantee on behalf of your company once you have all of the facts, including what you will be liable for in the worst case scenario. Say a business savvy friend approaches you and asks you to become a director of his organization. I promise you won't have to do anything, he assures you. Just sign here and you'll be part of this amazing business opportunity. Now, I can't stress this enough. Just say no. No director ever said, I don't have to do anything. Trust me, this friend could be roping you into a situation that exposes you to many legal liabilities. On the other hand, if you're interested in becoming a star on Today Tonight or 60 Minutes, note the following case of my client, Mr. Sanders. Mr. Sanders was a director and shareholder of a major corporation. Mr. Nathan served as its general manager, and at some point, Mr. Nathan began to withhold information about the operations of the company. Mr. Sanders was not confident with the way the business was being operated and resigned from his position as a director. This may have seemed like the correct move. However, Mr. Sanders knew that the company had not paid a number of their employees their superannuation. He suspected that the manager intended to abandon the company without paying these entitlements, and Mr. Sanders also knew that Mr. Nathan was benefiting personally and using the company money to pay for personal expenses and holidays. The company had been trading insolvent for the last 12 months, with client funds being misappropriated. What's the lesson? Do your homework before you agree to be a director of a company and make sure you're well informed about the company and its employees before going into business with them. There are a great many opportunities that involve directorship. The important thing to be aware of is your directorial responsibilities. If you've been following our podcast, you'll be aware of the legal framework. So now we're going to start looking at some more specific obligations and responsibilities. To begin, there's a very basic overview and some general things that directors must do regularly. You must ensure that the company is complying with the Act. You must observe and comply with the company's constitution and its bylaws. You must inform ASIC of any changes that are made to the company. You must be an active participant in board meetings and make decisions for the company. This means not allowing others to make decisions for you. You have an obligation to seek professional advice when needed and an obligation to disclose any material conflicts of interest. We're going to talk a little bit more about conflicts of interest throughout the podcast series, but in addition to these general duties, there are official duties of directors, and now we're getting to the crux of it. We are going to start with the duty to act bona fide. Bona what, I hear you say? Bona fide means in good faith. And what is our source of law? The original source of the duty to act bona fide comes from general law. This is also reinforced in the Act. If you are super enthusiastic and want to look it up, you'll find it at section 181 of the Act. To act bona fide or in good faith is one of the most important underlying legal concepts. You might hear this term thrown around a lot in the legal world. Simply put, it means to act honestly. Your duty is always to act in the best interests of your company as a whole, that is, in the interests of the shareholders as a group. After all, they are the owners of the company. The reason directors have this duty is to make sure that they do not arbitrarily or whimsically make decisions on behalf of the company. This requirement protects the corporation itself, shareholders, and creditors. For example, Mr. Thompson is the sole shareholder and director of a business called Thompson Supplies Proprietary Limited, a construction materials supply company. He's also the company director of Smith Constructions Proprietary Limited, a construction company that builds industrial structures. Mr. Thompson arranges for Thompson Supplies to sell construction materials to Smith Construction at a higher than market price. This may seem like a clever way to bring in some extra revenue, but this transaction is not in the best interest of Smith Construction, and Mr. Thompson has breached his duty to act in good faith. Determining whether you have acted in good faith can be a little trickier than it appears. Acting in good faith in a particular transaction may not be enough. You must also have the intention that the transaction will benefit the company as a whole. So, to try and determine whether you're acting in good faith, we must first ask, was it your intention to act in the company's best interest? Did you honestly consider the decision to be in the best interest of the company at the time? Let's say Jack and Jill, the directors of the World Proprietary Limited, have heard about a good investment in a new well. They do some research and discover the new well exists, so they invest in buckets to access the water. Only when they get there, the well is dry. Jack and Jill acted honestly in what they believed to be the best interest of the company, despite the loss they made. As a director, you have broad discretion to decide what contracts your company will enter into. The court won't consider whether it was a good business move. What they will consider is whether you acted in good faith and according to your honest belief that the contract would be beneficial to the company. If you did, you cannot be said to have breached your duty to act bona fide. But let's turn it around a little. What if Jack was the sole shareholder of the Bucket Company Proprietary Limited and suspected the well might not be profitable? Has he acted honestly? Did he act with good intentions? The presence or absence of good faith depends on the circumstances of each case. This is why the courts struggle to pin the concept down. There is no uniform role in establishing whether or not, under a set of given circumstances, good faith is present. When you make a decision and try to determine whether it's in the best interests of the company, you should take into account the shareholders' interests. They are, after all, the owners, the object and purpose of the company. If the World Proprietary Limited is a water exploration company and Jack and Jill enter into a contract for research into brain damage, then it would be difficult to establish that they're acting in the best interests of the company. And finally, you should be asking, what are the interests of the company? If you are a sole shareholder and director, your personal interests and those of the company might coincide. However, remember that a company has a personality separate and distinct from the director. More often than not, the interests of the company will differ from your own interests. So, what happens if you enter into a contract that breaches your duty of good faith? Often the contract will be voidable unless the third party had no knowledge of the circumstances constituting the breach of duty. The case of White House and Carlton Hotel Proprietary Limited illustrates how actions done without good faith may be voidable. It also shows the definition of good faith depends on the specific circumstances of each case. Mr. Whitehouse was the permanent governing director of the company, Carlton Hotel Proprietary Limited. He had full and complete control of the company's affairs. Therefore, he was obliged to act in the best interest of the company. His estranged wife and warring children gave him reason to ponder the future control of his company. to prevent half the voting shares falling to his former wife and possibly his daughters upon his death, he issued two shares to his sons, which would have given them majority voting power. The court decided that the share issue was not done in good faith. The transaction was therefore voidable. Mr. Whitehouse had issued the shares to his sons in order to alter the power structure of the company, and his actions were deemed not to be in the best interest of the company. We're now going to talk about penalties a little later in the series, but by brief overview, let's consider some of the more severe consequences that might apply for breaching the duty to act in good faith. You might be hit with a personal financial penalty of up to $200,000 and further disqualified from managing a corporation. In addition to the fine, you may be ordered to pay compensation. If the court finds that you were reckless and dishonest, it might also result in personal criminal consequences. So, if we've got you hooked and you want to hear more, please tune in to our next episode, where we will look at your duty not to act for an improper purpose.